Yo, 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 what's going on, everyone? It's the Fantasy Beat coming at you from Washington, D.C. Fantasy basketball and no other fantasy sports. I'm Justin Fensterman, and it's time for some fantasy basketball focus there, Trevor. How do you feel about that? That fantasy basketball is the major focus of the Fantasy Beat.
Yeah, we'll give it a couple of weeks here. We'll give it the major focus until, you know, it gets into the real sport of fantasy baseball.
Oh, man. Fantasy baseball?
You know I'm already looking forward to it, Fensty.
Oh, come on. We got some basketball. What about playoff fantasy football? You playing it all?
I am. I'm playing in a few different leagues. I encourage all of our listeners to definitely get in some sort of playoff league. It just adds some sort of fun kink to it. There's several different games that you can play, whether, you know, you go ahead and draft teams and you just, you know, as soon as the team loses, those players are out. Whether you go ahead and pick players each week, and depending on who you pick that week, you get points for it. Whether you do a draft each week, there's lots of different ways you can do these games, lots of different sites you can use, but we got to recommend you do it. But, you know, when it comes down to the most popular kinds, I'd say usually the draft, where as soon as a team loses, you lose those players, is about the most common. Wouldn't you say, Fensty?
I would absolutely say, and Trev, you and I have talked about what kind of drafts we like for playoff leagues, and you're a big fan of not the one-and-done format where you can only play your player once, and that's it, even if their team keeps advancing. You like playing a collective score and playing, being able to play the player throughout the NFL playoffs. So, Trev, let me ask you this here. In that kind of format where you can play players more than once, you have the first overall pick, and let's just say a six-team, two-quarterback, kind of, and two-defense kind of playoff fantasy football league, who is the number one overall pick?
That's just easy. You got to go Peyton Manning.
Really?
I mean, he's a guy that you're assuming has the best odds of getting at least three games. The ungodly type numbers that he is able to put up. He's going to have home field advantage for at least a game or two. I mean, for, you know, all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, it's I think you got to go Peyton Manning. I don't even think that. I think this is one of the easiest years. I don't think there's another argument. Well, you know, once you get to 2-3, that's when it starts to get kind of confusing.
Absolutely, Trev. Now, we're in a playoff fantasy football league together, Trev, and I had the opportunity to either draft Jamaal Charles with my first round pick as one of my running backs, or no Sean Moreno. Got a little bit of flack from drafting Charles. Obviously, when you look at the seasons that they've had, Charles has had the better season. However, you have to take into account how far that team could go in the playoffs, because if you want more games out of your players, so that definitely puts me at risk, Trev, but still I'm happy with Jamaal Charles, and hey, the Chiefs could definitely beat the Colts. It's not out of the question.
No, it's not out of the question. I don't agree with where you got Charles. I think you probably easily could have gotten him in the second round, so in that case, I don't see needing to take him there. But I do think you're right. I think Kansas City could win this game. I don't think it's likely. You know, probably 40% favorites to win the game, you know, 60-40 that they lose the game there. You know, however, one team that I feel like I've done a few of these drafts and I've done a few other, you know, playoff challenges, if you will, and a lot of teams being undervalued is the New Orleans Saints. Everyone's kind of putting this road record out there, and so there's no way they can win this game. But to me, when I see a home favorite of only 2.5 points on the Vegas line, it tells me that they think that the New Orleans Saints have an extremely decent chance, if not a good chance, to win this game. And as soon as they have a chance to play two games, you give Breeze two games, that's a lot of points getting put up. You give Jimmy Graham two games, that's a lot of points he's going to put up. And so I think a lot of these guys are really good values, and especially now with the news coming down that Pierre Thomas isn't going to play this week, that means if you draft Darren Sproles, who I've seen literally going as a flex position player in a lot of these leagues, why not grab him, hope to get at least two games, and if they're on a roll, who knows, maybe they get three. They almost beat Carolina on the road. It was the last second play. They almost beat Tom Brady on the road if it wasn't for like a last second play. I mean, I know their road record is really bad, but they haven't played as bad on the road, I think, as everybody thinks.
I'm going to tell you this, Trev, because it's Drew Brees, that road record does not impact my decision on whether or not I want to start a Saints player. And it's Drew Brees. He's been there before. It's the playoffs. I give him so much more confidence. And yeah, I'm absolutely in on the Eagles. I know Nick Foles has been one of the hottest quarterbacks, especially in the second half of the season. But it's Drew Brees, Trev. Who's more reliable than Drew Brees. Maybe Peyton Manning, not that many people. Rodgers?
But, I mean, even you see Rodgers going very far, I mean, falling in a lot of these drafts, because a lot of people expect them to lose to San Francisco in the first round.
Right.
And it's just so risky. I mean, I understand that it's a risk-reward, but I'm just saying, at some point in the end of your draft, I do kind of like bankrolling, but I like doing a lot of the mini bankrolls, where you're getting, you know, two or three teams with at least three players on it, and you can really get a mini bankroll out of the Saints late. You can get Brees, who's falling because everybody's only expecting him to get one game. And you can go ahead and get, you know, a Sproles and a Colson or a Sproles and a Jimmy Graham, you know, in the fifth, sixth round, if not sixth, seventh round in those type of drafts. And you can get a mini bankroll late. I just think it's a really good tactic that not a lot of people are using. I mean, a lot of the formats, Fenty, like if you're on NFL.com, they've got the format, they've got a multiplier format where you can pick any player you want. And if your player wins his game, you can start him the next week, and he gets a 2x multiplier.
That's interesting.
And so then the third week, he gets a 3x multiplier.
That changes drafts completely.
Yeah, it's not a draft. It's just you can pick any of the players you want. It's almost like a salary-type league. And so you better pick whatever players you want. And then you're trying to pick the teams that go ahead and get bonuses. So, like, if I go ahead and the team that I like the most in those type of challenges is the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they have a chance of playing three games, if not four games, to make it to the Super Bowl, in which case I'm looking at a 3-4x multiplier. In those type of games, I urge people to kind of risk it to begin with. Play your Saints, play your Bengals. If they don't come through, you can still go ahead and grab your, you know, your Denver players, your Patriot players, a few of those guys in the second round, and, you know, Seattle players, grab them in the second round, still get 2-3x multipliers later on.
Absolutely, and remember, this is a playoff fantasy football league and playoff fantasy football draft if you're participating, so players like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis have a lot more value. Even players like Doug Baldwin have more value because you're hoping for more games and you're hoping for longevity from these teams.
So, I mean, and to your point, exactly, Fancy, I mean, while we may not think Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis is better than a D'Angelo Williams normally, or maybe, you know, he's not better than a Ryan Matthews normally, guess what? He is when he has a chance to play three games and Ryan Matthews only plays one. You know, do you take 3 weeks of production of the law firm over 1 week of production with Ryan Matthews? No. But in a 1-to-1 week, yeah, you're taking Ryan Matthews. And that's what you're saying is you've always got to pay attention to the amount of games they're going to play.
Any love for Mark Ingram as a sleeper?
You know, now that Pierre Thomas is out, you don't know if it's going to last. If it's really deep, I think you can go ahead and try it. If you're in, you know, some sort of 10 or 12 man fantasy draft, playoff draft, then maybe. But yeah, I think that's too deep. I don't think you can do it.
All right, Mark Ingram, guys who you could draft late along with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. But it's time to help regular season fantasy players out, and that is because fantasy basketball is in the regular season. We're not at the halfway point there, but it's definitely in sight, Trev. And you have been a lot more cheery about your fantasy basketball team lately. It hasn't been a good start. You've had some injuries. But, Trev, talk about some of the developments on your fantasy basketball team, some of the players who you expect to come back and dominate and take you out of the toilet bowl.
Well, I think you know the number one guy, the guy that you warned me against, and as soon as the season started, I told you you were right. But, you know, he's come back early enough that I think I can still turn some things around. All I need to do is make the playoffs. I'm talking about Larry Sanders. You were kind of worried about maybe how many minutes he would play once he got back, because everyone had, you know, John Henson had been playing so well, Chris Middleton had been playing so well. You know, did you really want to disrupt all of that? However, I think we got our answer in his first four games. You know, his first game he played 22 minutes, and ever since then, 34, 35, 35. The guy's getting playing time, and he's looking pretty good. For a guy that hasn't played at all this season, Justin, I mean, 10 points, 9 points, 7 points, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 10 rebounds, 11 rebounds, 8 rebounds. While this may not be a first rounder or a second rounder here, he's come back and he's doing a little bit of everything. He's getting you points, getting you rebound, getting you steals, getting you blocks. You couldn't have asked for anything more out of first four games.
No, absolutely, Trev. And it shows in something you mentioned there, the fact that Henson's been playing pretty well, Middleton's been playing pretty well, but obviously you see from the playing time and, you know, how it's being divided, Sanders has taken his spot back, which surprises me a little bit because not only did he have physical problems, but he had a lot of off-the-court problems as well that I thought would come back to haunt him, especially now that he's a bit healthier.
So are you dropping Chris Middleton? I mean, I've noticed that, you know, the last two games, he got 17 minutes and 20 minutes. you're not expecting much production if a player is not getting over 20 minutes in a game. Is that the trend that's going to continue, or do you think he finds more time in that offense?
Watch field goal percentage and rebound categories when it comes to Chris Middleton, because with Chris Middleton, he could very well get that playing time back. Milwaukee's got a lot of bigs, and they're not afraid to use them. They're going to keep the fresh man on the court. And remember, still, Larry Sanders is still coming back from injury, so he might even have that game where he plays only 15, 20 minutes, and that's where Middleton's going to take advantage. But right now, John Henson has that timeshare with Sanders, and Middleton's in a little bit of the outhouse and doesn't get as many minutes. So am I dropping him? No. But if I start seeing the rebound numbers go down immediately, I'm dropping him and I'm streamlining rebounds with that roster spot. So, Trev, we got to talk about another team, an off-injured team in the Brooklyn Nets, because they have some people that are actually coming back and people who you could still find on your fantasy basketball waiver wire. First being Andre Kirilenko. Andre Kirilenko has been limited this season to only a couple of games because of a bad back, and that's definitely concerning. However, now that Andre Kirilenko is back, you are already seeing from his statistics that he is putting up diverse stats, and that's why Andre Kirilenko has always been a name floating around in fantasy and where to draft, because he helps out in just about every statistic. And with the Nets hurt with Garnett and Pierce not really able to stay healthy consistently, that's where Andre Kirilenko is going to help. Yeah, he's playing under 20 minutes right now for his first few games, but naturally with a back injury, he's going to play a few games, but he's still available in 87% of leagues polled out there, a good combo forward option, and the fact that he can play multiple positions will secure him more playing time on this injured team, who, by the way, just lost Brook Lopez, so that also helps Kirilenko's cause, so definitely look to pick him up.
Now, is that somebody that you think could eat into some time that Andre Blatch was seeing?
Absolutely, but remember, Andre Blatch is going to be strictly the center. So Brook Lopez is hurt, so Andre Blatch is getting most of those minutes. But hey, if they need to do a quick switch, Kirilenko can play at least two positions in the small and power forward. And if he needs to start at center for just a few minutes, he could do that too. But mostly, those minutes are still going to Andre Blatch.
One guy, Justin, you can get off the waiver wire, had a recent explosion for your New York Knicks. Well, I'm talking about Iman Shumpert. Do you believe that this guy can actually, you know, be a scorer for the New York Knicks? Do you believe that he can be a fantasy option for our Fantasy Beat listeners?
As of right now, yes, because J.R. Smith is just playing so poorly right now, and he's not shooting well at all. So with Iman Shumpert having a little bit of a hot hand, yes, he's going to be the guy that's going to be scoring, and Smith's not going to get as many shot opportunities unless he does what he always wants to do, which is just chuck shots up with his eyes closed. But Iman Shumpert, hey, if he's hot, he's going to get the playing time. He hasn't been in the best of spirits with the Knicks management in this holiday season, let me tell you. It's not a happy holidays in Knicks management versus Iman Shumpert right now, because he's been in the trade talks all year round. So Iman Shumpert's motivated. He wants to stay, and he wants to earn his spot in playing time. And he has lost minutes in games despite how skilled and talented he is. So in terms of a fantasy perspective, yes, especially after winning against the Spurs, he is going to get more opportunities, shot opportunities. But if J.R. Smith gets hot, you know that's going to cause a problem.
Let's go up to the frozen Midwest here to Minnesota. Chase Buttinger is looking like he might be coming back soon. Only owned in about 9% of Yahoo leagues. You know, this guy has been able to put up, you know, not great numbers, but he's always getting you about 10 points, you know, about 4 or 5 rebounds in a game. You know, is this a guy that you're picking up when he comes back? Do you think he can find a role in that offense?
Not immediately. I'm going to watch to see how much playing time he's going to get, because now Minnesota has Kevin Martin, who's going to be a major help, and he's going to take a lot of minutes and a lot of shots. Buttinger is a very good mid-range shooter, but that's all he could do. So, Trev, I'm saying put him on your watch list, but if he doesn't get above 15 minutes a game, he's not going to be useful at all for your fantasy team. Let's go back to the Brooklyn Nets for a minute, because there's another player out there that you could still pick up on your waiver wire. One of the frustrating players to own is Deron Williams, and that's because he has a knee injury every other day, and he's making another whiny excuse about his poor performance another night. So it's not always fun with Deron Williams on your fantasy basketball team. Enter Sean Livingston. Sean Livingston has actually been so hurt over the last 8-9 years of his career with his knee injury. He had one of the most gruesome knee injuries I ever saw back when he was on the Clippers, where it almost looked like his whole knee detached right there on the court. And now he's on this Brooklyn Nets team, and he's been one of the healthiest players. He's quick. He drives the lane. He draws contact. He gets to the line. He shoots about 90% from the free throw line. Sean Livingston, especially where point guards are scarce in fantasy basketball, is a very good fantasy commodity because, hey, Jason Kidd's shown that he's not afraid to take Darren Williams out. And when Darren Williams is not shooting well and is completely unorganized, that's where Sean Livingston, who is still available in about 94% of leagues polled out there, hey, he's shooting 45.4% from the field. Why not pick the guy up? He helps in steals, assists, provides a little bit of rebounding help. Why is he available? Tell me.
I mean, that's a pickup. I mean, that's all you got to do. That's a hot pickup. But, Justin, let's swing back the other way on a drop. A guy you got to get off your team, you know, if he's even on your team. But I also want to know who you picking up in his place and who do you think, you know, sees the increase in value because he's gone. And Andrew Bynum, this guy... Him and the Cavs have something going on. It looks like he's going to be released within the next few days, Justin. Do you see the Cavaliers having someone step up and kind of fill a void? You know, he hasn't been playing the last few games, but, you know, all winter long in November and December was playing almost 25 minutes a game. Justin, I got to know, is this a guy, I mean, who do you see replacing him? What do you see happening? And where did this come from? You got to drop him, right? He's done. He's not going to get picked up by anybody, is he?
I mean, he might. You never know. Team for veterans minimum, he could definitely come in and, hey, he could cause some problems with your team on and off the court, but he could still put up the statistics. The health is always a concern with Andrew Bynum. So who takes the minutes? Well, guess what? Andrew Bynum has been getting 20 minutes a game, so that's not too much on the grand scheme of things, but now it's going to cause more pressure on Tristan Thompson and Anderson Varejão. Varejão has played about 30 minutes a game, which is where I expected him to be playing at the beginning of the season if he gained his health, but hey, Tyler Zeller is out there. Let me tell you about Tyler Zeller. He hustles, and coaches like players who hustle. He doesn't put up the sexiest stats, Trev. He's only scored a few points a game and a couple of rebounds a game, but hey, playing time's going to be on his side, and he could block a shot or two. So that's definitely the person to watch in that case because Anthony Bennett has done jack at all this season. So outside of Tristan Thompson, and outside of Anderson Varejão, and outside of Earl Clark, who will also be getting a few more minutes, but he's more of a smaller forward, it's going to be Tyler Zeller that gets that playing time.
So, Justin, let me go ahead and ask you about Tyler Zeller. You know, a young guy, only 23 years old here. Do you believe this is a guy that could develop? I mean, he's 7 foot, but he's only 247. He's rather undersized for the position. Do you feel like this is a guy that could build into an NBA player? Is this a Dynasty League guy? Do you like Tyler Zeller as a Dynasty League guy? Or do you see Tyler Zeller just being another average, tall, undersized white guy that's just not going
to
make it?
Well, let me tell you, Trev, right now, it has nothing to do with the last thing you just said. But the fact is,
he's undersized?
No, yeah, fine. Stop. All right, he was on Cleveland last year. It was his rookie season. Or rather, he was on Cleveland last season, and he played about 26 minutes per game. And in that 26 minutes a game, he averaged about 8 points and almost 6 rebounds a game with about a block a game and a steal every other game on average. Those are pretty dynamic stats. I don't think in a dynasty league he has that much value because there's a reason why his minutes have dropped from 26.4 essentially to 10 minutes a game. So there's obviously something going on.
But wasn't that just the pickup of Bynum?
But the problem is he's a health liability, Bynum. You're picking up one of the most damaged players in the league.
Knowing that you have Zeller right there that can go ahead and give you the minutes because he did it the year before, that's what I'm asking. So you feel that... Really, Tyler Zeller's ceiling is pretty low.
Right now it is. However, I want to see, which is why I'm telling you to put him on your watch list, I want to see how much playing time he gets. I want to see if they really rotate players like Earl Clark in the power forward position because that's where Tyler Zeller is going to be playing because, like you said, he's a bit undersized to play the actual center position. Trev, good call with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Remember, these teams that have a bunch of names you might not be as familiar with, they could be the sexiest fantasy players for your team out there.
Justin, and speaking of fantasy names and names I can't pronounce, there is one guy out there I've got to ask you about because he's continuing to come up in a lot of the articles I'm reading, and I don't even know if I should attempt it.
Don't do it. I already know who it is.
Go ahead.
It's a Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That you are way closer than I would have ever gotten.
Yeah, I've been. You know what? He's also known as the Greek Freak, and that's because of... His name precedes me.
Yes.
He's been putting up very good stats, and he's been slowly getting a lot more playing time.
He's still available in a lot of leagues, it seems like, in Yahoo leagues. Is this a guy that, you know, we're going to call him the Greek Freak. Let's just make it easy. You know, the Greek Freak, are you trusting in him? Is this a guy that you think you can pick up, or we're just riding the wave? Or do you think this is a pickup that might be all season long? Champ or chump? Let's just do a quick champ or chump for the Greek Freak.
I'm going to go with champ. He seems to be getting a lot of the coaches really, he gets their votes of confidence. He's been getting playing time. I felt, especially with Larry Sanders coming back, that might cause a little bit of traffic. But at the same time, he could play the three positions. So I do think that he does have the playing time, because I don't think Chris Middleton can play the three. So Atenda Kuambo, definitely, and I'm sorry if I'm saying his name wrong, I tried my best, but that's the Fantasy Beat here on BaseballGuys.com. Playoff fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball, really soon. Another edition of the Fantasy Beat. Ride that wave. Good luck in your playoff leagues.
Pick up the Greek Freak, baby.
This is the Fantasy Beat.
Peace.